Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Kuf Aleph. We have a work cut out for us this morning. We are in Kuf Amud Aleph. We are starting today at Abaye Amar. And Abaye is now going to propose an answer to a question which is, we don't have a clear report from Rabbi Shimon in terms of how long is the status of a Kohen being an Onain. So again, let's just back up for a moment. We know that when a person loses one of his Zayin Krovin and his seven relatives, so he is an Onain min HaTorah. He's an Onain min HaTorah for that day. As I mentioned already a number of times, but let's repeat this again. Let's not confuse Aninus as it relates to the transition from being an Onain to an Avel. And Aninus, as we're discussing right now, in terms of the ability to be makir of a carbon and to eat from a carbon. They are separate halachas, and they share the same word. They share the same basic idea, but they are not the same. When we're talking about an onin as it relates to transition from being an onin to an avel, so that's kvura, that's burial. So in other words, the person is an onin up until kvura, and then from kvura and onwards, so the person's an avel. That's the halacha as we are, that's how we relate to this halacha. However, as it relates to the Gemara's concern, the Gemara is only interested in karbanos, and the onin status as it relates to karbanos, and here is what we absolutely know. We know that a person, a kohen, is an onin on the Yom HaMisa, on the day of death. So for that day, when I say that day, I'm talking about now Carbon Day, which Carbon Day means the day, the actual daytime. So for that day, the Kohen is in effect a status of an Onin. He cannot do the Avodah. Notable exception is the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avodah. But outside of that, though, an Onin cannot do the Avodah. As a result of not being able to do the Avodah, also does not get a distribution of the carbon, also does not eat carbon. These are all things that we established since the beginning of the Perek. This period of Aninus is going to extend to the night. That is done most probably by the Chachamim. There is an opinion, which we're going to see later this morning, that the Aninus Laila, the Onain period of the night following the day, is a Dinda Araisa, but as we'll see over the course of today's daf and yesterday's daf, so by consensus, almost by consensus, the Onain status that extends after the Yom HaMisa, the night afterwards, is a Dinda Rabbanan, not a Dinda Araisa. There also is another thing to take into consideration, which we'll speak a little bit later on, and that is the Yom HaKfura. Let's say the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKfura are not one and the same. Is there going to be an Onain status for the Yom HaKfura? The answer is going to be yes, and that's going to be a Din Darabanan. The rabbis introduced that also as an Onain day for the Kohanim. So if, let's say, for example, the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKfura are separated by a day or more than a day, so then the Yom HaMisa, obviously, he's an Onain. The night following, he's an Onain Midrabanan. The day of Kvura, he again is going to be an Onain Midrabanan. Is the nighttime going to follow the day as well? Stay tuned. That's going to be open for a discussion and a debate. Where do we stand in terms of Rabbi Shimon? So we are unclear right now. Because on one hand, Rabbi Shimon on Tzadi Tesamud Beis on 99b. So Rabbi Shimon gave us conflicting reports in terms of how he views an Onain. On one hand, Rabbi Shimon said that an Onain is allowed to eat Karban Pesach, meaning to say that if a Kohen is an Onain on Erev Pesach, so that means that for that day, obviously, he'll be an Onain. He can't offer Karban, he can't eat Karban, but Rabbi Shimon, in one brisa, tells us, Tovav Ochos Pischa La'erev. So, but what can he do is he can tovav the mikvah, and that night he'll eat Karban Pesach. So, that you get that sense, you certainly see, is that an Onain does not extend until the night, or it extends in the night into the night midrabanan, but because of the significance and the importance of Karban Pesach, so the Chachamim relax their rules. Problem is that we had another brisa, also on Tzadi Tesamud Beis, tells us that an Onain cannot offer any Karban, not any Karban, including Karban Pesach. So one of the things mentioned in this brisa is that an Onain can even eat Karban Pesach, meaning if he is an Onain on the 14th day of Nisan. So that night the Kohen can't eat Karban Pesach, which would give the indication that an Onain's extension into the night is a Din D'Oraisa and not just a Din D'Rabbanan. That is the problem that we surveyed on Tzadi Tesamud Beis. To that, we have already proposed three different answers to that question. One by Rav Chista, a second by Rav Sheshes, a third by Rav Mari. We are now up to the Gemara. I'm not going to review them right now. We're now up to the Gemara in Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, and we are going to be starting on Abaye's answer. So just in terms of also getting our bearings, this is yesterday's daf that we're doing. And so we are now going to be going over two more answers to this question, Abaye and Rava. You know how it normally works. You see a Abaye, so you know that means on the horizon is coming Rava. So we are now up to Abaye's answer. So this is Kuf Amud Aleph. It's about 13 lines from the top of the Amud. Abaye Amar. Abaye Amar Lo Kasha Kanshem Es Kodem Chatzos Kanshem Es Acher Chatzos. So Abaye says, look, the discrepancy and the distinction between the two brises is when exactly on the 14th day of Nisan did the death occur? Did it occur before midday or did it occur after midday? Rashi over here writes, I'm going to read Rashi because Rashi really gets our bearings down really well. Rashi writes on Dibra Amas Rabbi Amar, Idividi Yom Misa. We're talking about the Yom Misa. So in other words, the actual death occurred on the 14th. Ulalam Aninus Laila Rabbi Shimon Durabban. And we're also going to take the position that according to Rabbi Shimon, the extension of Aninus into the night is a Din Durabban and not a Din Duraisa. Udiktani Bebraisa Pesach and Ababa Aninus Keshemes Kodem Chatzos. Now, the one brisa that says that you don't that the this kohen is not going to be bringing Karban Pesach is talking about when the death occurs before Chatzos. Why? Rashi writes, "Derechmana dachim mehaykra, the darshina kishu shalem who mevi velo kishu onen," because now at that point in time he is now pushed off min haTorah, meaning because the onen status now has come before the obligation of Karban Pesach. Remember, Karban Pesach can only be brought in the afternoon, not in the morning. We learned this already numerous times earlier in this Masechta, Pesachim as well. So the Karban Pesach obligation does not start until the afternoon. So that means that his owning status now comes before his obligation to bring Karban Pesach. So who may be Pesach tova pisco, and the other brisa that says that he does bring Karban Pesach, ama maiskila onen kishem esach chatzos. That is talking about where the death occurs after midday. And now, because his obligation to bring Karban Pesach has preceded his status of Aninus, so therefore, he is now obligated to bring Karban Pesach. Yes, he's an Onin, which means, of course, today he's not allowed to eat Karban. He's not allowed to bring Karban. But because his extension into the night is only Din Darabanan, and because now his obligation to Karban Pesach has already kicked in, so therefore the Chachamim relax the rules, and they allowed him to bring Karban Pesach, or I should say better, have somebody else bring Karban Pesach on his behalf so that he can eat it tonight. This is Abaye's proposal to the answer. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's see all this inside. Abaye Amar Lo Kasha Kanshem Es Kodem Chatzos Kanshem Es Lacher Chatzos. Kodem Chatzos Lo Achzei LePesach Chayla Ela Aninus. So I know we saw all this in Rashi already, but in other words, if the death occurs before Chatzos, so that means his owning status now has preceded his obligation to bring Karban Pesach. Acher Chatzos Dechzei LePesach Lo Chayla Ela Aninus Lo Chayla Ela Aninus. However, if I just lost my train of thought. Thank you. If the death occurs after Chatzos, so since now his obligation to bring Karban Pesach is kicked in before his status of Aninus, so therefore he's going to bring Karban Pesach. Now, in support of Abaye, the Gemara is going to point out that I'm going to bring a seemingly fantastic support, that there has to be a difference between before and after Chatzos, because now what's going to happen now in the upcoming Gemara, and this is going to take us to the end of the Samud, is that the Gemara is going to bring two brises. Nothing to do with Karban Pesach, but, well, that's not totally true, but primarily not having to do with Karban Pesach, but there's going to be a blatant contradiction between the two brises. And the resolution between the two brises is going to be whether it happened before Chatzos or whether it happened after Chatzos. And then, so once we establish that such a distinction is in fact a valid distinction, we're then just simply going to go back and say, oh, and this is a good support for Abaye. Brisa number one, Detanya. La Yitama, mitzvah. We know that when a Kohen is confronted with the death of any one of his relatives, so he has a, now here, we fill in the blank. It's either going to be an allowance to bury his relative or an obligation to bury his relative. And on that, there actually is a machlokas hatanayim, whether or not, what degree he should be involved, whether it's just simply permission to do so, or whether it is a bona fide mitzvah, it's an obligation for him to do so. So the Gemara says, la yitama, mitzvah. So the Brisa starts off by saying that it is in fact a mitzvah. Lo ratza mitamen oso. Now let's imagine that he doesn't want to. So if he doesn't want to, mitamen oso, so then we basically force him to do so. Al karcha umaisav Yosef Kohen mishemesa ishto b'erev Pesach. And the Gemara tells a story about Yosef HaKohen. His wife died in Erev Pesach. V'lo ratza litame. Now, I'm sure he loved her. Right? And I'm sure this is not any kind of referendum on how he felt about her. However, it was Erev Pesach. He wanted to eat Karban Pesach. So he said, okay, look, I don't want to become tummy. So, v'nimnu acha v'kohanim v'timu bakarcha. And along came the Kohanim. The Kohen said, look, this is not your choice. In other words, you have to, she is one of your seven relatives. You have to be metamifer. It's a mitzvah to do so. So far now in Brisa number one, it's been established that it is a mitzvah for a Kohen to be metame for his relative. And even if it's at the expense of not eating Karban Pesach, it doesn't matter, you're metame. That is Brisa number one. Now let's introduce ourselves to Brisa number two, Uriminu. Ula Achosa. Now Rashi over here points out that even though this Brisa is not primarily focused on the Kohen, it's focused on the Nazir, point's still going to be the same. A Nazir is just like a Kohen. A Nazir is not allowed to become Metame for any one of his relatives. And in fact, a Nazir, in this regard, it's like a Kohen Gadol. Meaning, a Kohen Gadol is not to be Metame even for the seven relatives. Nazir, same story. Ula Achoso. The Torah says that he's not allowed to be Metame for his seven relatives. Now, even though I'm saying it as if the Torah is saying it's super clear, I admit that the Torah does not say that super clear, that he's not allowed to be for any metame for his seven relatives. Now, what I mean by that is, yes, the Torah goes and elucidates not all seven relatives. Just point of interest, by the way, for the Nazir, the Torah does not mention his son or his daughter. On another occasion, I'll explain why. Not like I know, but I have an excellent proposal. But Rashi over here points out, I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside, please forgive me, but Rashi over here points out that if you read the Pesukim, it comes out very clear from the Pesukim that he's not allowed to be Metame for anyone, not even his relatives. And then the Torah goes and spells out, and not his sister, and not his brother, and not his mother, and not his father, and the Torah is being superfluous in all these references, because we already know that a Nazir cannot be Metame for any one of his relatives. Ula Achoso. Ma tom lomar harei shalach lishchot es pischo v'limos es beno. So basically now what the Brisa does is the Brisa piles on. Well, the Brisa now goes on to say, let's say that he is not only a Nazir, but on top of that he's not only a Nazir, but he's also a Kohen, and he can also be even a Kohen Gadol, which in of itself is interesting how it could be a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol. So he can be a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol. So he's a Nazir, and he's a Kohen Gadol, and let's just keep piling on. And let's say also is a mitzvah of Shechitas HaPesach. And let's say also he has a mitzvah to give a milah to his son. So he's got a lot. He's got a lot on his plate right now. And so v'shama shemes lameis yachol yitama amar lo yitama. So now, and there's one of his relatives who was nifter, and now should he be tame? The Torah says no, lo yitama. That's exactly the point. Meaning the redundancies in the Torah of mentioning all these relatives is basically telling me that he's not allowed to be metame for any of his relatives. And even though there is multiple considerations, does not matter, lo yitama. Yachol k'shem shlo yitama l'achos kach ein metame l'meis mitzvah. I might have thought that he should not be metame for a meis mitzvah. Tamalamer ula achoso. Ula achoso dena metame of a metame hula meis mitzvah. He's not metame for his sister, but in the event of a meis mitzvah, so you drop everything and you're metame for a meis mitzvah. The trumps everything. So meis mitzvah trumps everything. So what do we have right now? What we have over here is that in this second brisa, so one of the things that our Kohen was en route of doing, our Nazir, Kohen Gadol, failure to the Karban Pesach, Shechitas Beno. So he have all these things going for you. And meanwhile, in this brisa, it says that you are not going to be Metame, but rather you're going to go through. And one of the things mentioned over here is Karban Pesach. So in Brisa number one, so the Brisa took a very hard line position. You're a Kohen on Erev Pesach, you're Metame, and you don't do Karban Pesach. In Brisa number two, we have it that no, you do it. Go ahead, you do Karban Pesach. So where do we stand right now? A stira between Brisa number one and Brisa number two. So lav shmami nakam kan kodne chatzos kan lacher chatzos. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's a stira, and it must be, the resolution must be, it depends on when the relative died on Erev Pesach. Did it die before Chatzos or after Chatzos? And so what we have over here is now in this resolution of this brisa, we have an approach that Abaye gave earlier, and this is a support for Abaye. Mimai, the Gemara says, I don't know if this support is so wonderful. Dilma, lo lamem l'chai divide acher Chatzos. It could very well be that that both brises are talking about where the death occurred after midday, meaning already when the chiyuv of Karban Pesach kicked in, both brises are talking about where the death occurred in the afternoon, and yet we could still give another resolution between the stira between the two brises. How so? How Rabbi Shmuel, how Rabbi Akiva? As I mentioned under my breath just a couple of minutes earlier, there is a debate amongst the Tanaim whether or not there's a mitzvah for a kohen to tend to one of his relatives, or is it just permission that's granted? Can't you just simply say that the distinction, the differentiation between the two brises is simply whether or not we subscribe to either Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanya? And the Gemara over here quotes the brisa, La Yitama Rishus, Dev Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it is just simply but permission granted to be Matami for one of his relatives. He doesn't have to be Matami for one of his relatives, simply just permission granted. And Rabbi Akiva Amar Chova. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's not permission, it's an obligation, it's a responsibility. A Kohen must be Matami. And can't that just simply be the resolution between the two brises? The brisa that says that he must be metame for his relative, that meaning the first brisa, so that would be going like Rabbi Akiva. The second brisa, however, would be going like Rabbi Shmuel. Lo sakadatcha. The Gemara says no. This is not a way to resolve the difference between the two brises. Deresha dahu Rabbi Akiva. Because I will show you now. We'll open up the window a little bit wider to the second brisa, because again, in this proposal now, we were saying that the second brisa is going like Rabbi Shmuel, but if I open up the brisa a little bit wider, if I open the window a little bit wider and take a larger look at that brisa, you will see clearly that the second brisa is going like Rabbi Akiva. How do I know that? Ketani la detanya. So all we're going to do now is we're going to repeat the second brisa, but now we're going to quote more of it. And by quoting more of it, it will become evident that the second brisa is going like Rabbi Akiva. Ditanya. And here we go. Rabbi Akiva Amar Nefesh, Elu HaKrovim, Mace Elu HaRechokim. This is what I mentioned earlier. This is what Rashi was making reference to. That in the pasuk regarding the Nazir, again, I know the second brisa is talking about a Nazir, but the point's still essentially the same. Somebody who cannot be Matami for his relatives. So Nefesh Elu HaKrovim, Mace Elu HaRechokim. So already in the words themselves of Nefesh and Mace, we know that a nazir cannot make mitzvah for anybody. And la'aviv in a matame, va matame hu la'meis mitzvah. So the la'aviv is telling me that he's not matame for the relatives, but he's matame for a meis mitzvah. Le'imo, which is again redundant, because I already know that he can't be matame for his mother. Hayakon v'u nazir, le'imo hu dein a matame, va matame hu la'meis mitzvah. It comes to tell me that if let's just keep piling on. He's a nazir and he's a kohen. So he can't be matame for one of his relatives, but he could be matame for meis mitzvah. La'achiv, shima ya kohen gadol hu nazir, la'achiv hu deina matame, v'matame la meis mitzvah. And now with our third redundancy, so now we're going to heap on, not only he's a kohen, but he's a kohen gadol. So he's a kohen gadol, and he's a nazir, and he can't be matame for any one of his relatives, but can be matame for a meis mitzvah. La'achos ha'matame lamar. Now, what are we getting from our fourth redundancy? As I mentioned, there are four relatives mentioned by the nazir. So this is our fourth redundancy. And here we're just hearing the second brisa again. So he is a nazir and a kohen gadol, and he's on en route to shech the karban pesach, and he's also giving a mila to his son. And one of his relatives dies. Yachol yitama amar lo yitama. The Torah says no. Yachol kashem shem matam lachosa kachem matam lemeis mitzvah. Habara meis mitzvah. Tamalomer lachosa lachosa leitama avayitama hu lemeis mitzvah. Drop everything for a meis mitzvah. Okay. And what we got from all the points of this brisa is that this brisa over here is in agreement with Rabbi Akiva. It is not just simply a heter, it's not just simply an allowance for a person to tend to a mace, but it's a mitzvah to do so. So the second brisa is not going like Rabbi Shmuel, the second brisa is going like Rabbi Akiva. And so we are back now to our stira between brisa number one, brisa number two. And our resolution of there's a difference between whether the death occurred before Chatzos or after Chatzos. And again, just to reiterate one more time, before we turn the page and turn to Rava, is that now Abai's resolution is like this. Rabbi Shimon says that Aninus extends into the night on a rabbinic level. When a Kohen loses one of his relatives at daytime on Erev Pesach, so he's an Onin that day. That night is a rabbinic extension of Aninus, right? Aninus Laila is the Rabbanan. And now, is he going to be able? Is somebody able to bring the Karban Pesach on his behalf so that he will be able to eat it at night? One brisa quotes Rabbi Shimon saying no. Another brisa quotes Rabbi Shimon saying yes. Abai's resolution is, is that if the death occurred in the morning, so that means his Anino status now has preceded his Karban Pesach requirement, and so therefore he will not be bringing Karban Pesach, no one will be bringing on his behalf, and he will then just simply be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. If on the other hand...
In the morning or in afternoon?
What?
You said in the morning or in
if
afternoon?
The death occurred in the morning. So now his Anino status precedes his Karban Pesach obligation, and so therefore get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. If, on the other hand, the death occurred in the afternoon, so the death in the afternoon means that his obligation of Karban Pesach has already kicked in, and since his Karban Pesach obligation has already kicked in, so therefore he will have somebody else bring Karban Pesach on his behalf, and he'll be eating Karban Pesach that night. Either his Aninus that night, Aninus is Derabbanan, and because his Karban Pesach obligation has kicked in first, so therefore the Chachamim relaxed their Aninus rules of Aninus HaLaila.
Where is the source of Rabbi Yishmael? How did it come that mixed adoption?
The Gemara in Sota discusses there are when the Torah does not say with absolute clarity that he must be metamiher. The Torah just simply says la yitama. So from there, from the Torah, there is that ambiguity that is caused in terms of whether or not he's obligated. Or it's just simply that the Torah is giving him an allowance to do so. Okay. Rava Amar. And now we turn to answer number 5. Answer number 5 of the Gemara, and this will be their final answer in terms of trying to resolve the discrepancy between Rabbi Shimon. So, but when all said and done, this answer will take us to the bottom of the Amud. When all said and done, the Gemara is going to be spending a daf and a half, trying to resolve Rabbi Shimon's position of what Aninus Laila is. Rava Amar. So this is again now our fifth answer to try to explain the discrepancy of Rabbi Shimon. Now Rav is of the opinion that it could very well be that the death occurred in the afternoon on Erev Pesach. V'lo kasha, kan kodesh ha-shachtu v'zarku alav, kan la'achar ha-shachtu v'zarku alav. So, and the distinction is whether or not we actually shechted Karban Pesach on his behalf. Meaning, so now let's go into the afternoon of Pesach. The afternoon of Erev Pesach. Yudala Nisan, and the death occurred there. And now there are going to be two Rabbi Shimons. Well, it's the same Rabbi Shimon, but there are going to be two different positions of Rabbi Shimon, whether or not a Kohen is now going to be eating Karban Pesach. If the death occurs before somebody actually brought the Karban Pesach on his behalf, so now we're going to say to the Kohen, look, you're in Onin status. I know your Karban Pesach obligation has kicked in, but you haven't actually brought the Karban Pesach yet. So in other words, you're just simply, your Onin status now comes before the actual bringing of the Karban Pesach, so you'll just get bumped off to Pesach Sheni. If, on the other hand, the Karban Pesach was already offered on his behalf, and there's still some afternoon left, and one of his relatives died, so under those circumstances, now he can go ahead and he can eat Karban Pesach. To which the Gemara says, well, let's think about this answer just a little bit more. Kan konav sheshachtu v'zarku alav, kan la'achar sheshachtu v'zarku alav. Amar le'Rav Ada bar Masna le'Rava, achar sheshachtu v'zarku v'zama, ma'ida hava hava. So the Gemara says, well, let's think about this answer just a little bit more. Meaning, what are you telling me? That if the death occurred after the Karban Pesach was offered on his behalf, okay, fine. What do you mean, okay, fine? Meaning, he now fulfilled the mitzvah of Karban Pesach as the Karban was offered on his behalf. So what significance are you telling me? So the Gemara says, Amarle, Ravina, Achilas, Psachim, Akva. So he says, well, what do you mean? In other words, the mitzvah is not yet fulfilled. In other words, yes, it's true. When it comes to most other karbanos, I can even say it stronger. When it comes to all other karbanos, yes, there's a component of eating the karban. But in terms of the check that you receive for, have I brought this karban? It comes with the Zrikas Adam, the sprinkling of the blood. However, Rava, in this answer, is also saying the following. That in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, it is not sufficient that you just simply shecht and sprinkle the karban, or somebody shechts and sprinkles on your behalf. But in other words, another essential component of the mitzvah is eating of the Karban Pesach. And so therefore, in Rava's answer, Rabbi Shimon will tell you that, when do the Chachamim waive the Aninus Laila, which is a din derabbanan? And again, Rava and Abai agree on this point. That Aninus Laila is the Rabbanan. When do they waive the Aninus Laila? Only when the death occurs after the Karban was actually shechted. And how do I know that Achilas Karban Pesach is Ma'akev, that it's essential? Midarava Barav Huna. I know it from a statement made by Rav Abba Rav Huna. Now we're going to get to that statement in just a moment, but Amar Lei, So Amar Lei, Tzayis Ma'ade Kamalacha Rabcha. So the Gemara just simply emphasizes, punctuates, and oh, by the way, this is a good answer, meaning he's right about this point. My de Rav Abba Rav Huna de Tanya. And now the Gemara points out, where do we see the statement of Rav Abba Rav Huna that the eating of the Karban Pesach is an essential part of the mitzvah? Because the Tanya will learn from the following braisa. Yom Shmua ki Yom Kvura leMitzvah Shiva Vishloshim. Now, before we learn this braisa together, so let me highlight just a couple of points before we begin here. Okay. Again, I know there's a lot of intersection over here of the practical halachas of avelus and a status of onein as it relates to you and I, meaning without karbanos and without the whole carbon consideration. And then, of course, there is our topic, which is onein as it relates to a kohen and his ability to offer carbon and to eat carbon. We're focusing more on the latter, meaning obviously this has a lot of practical halacha as it relates to you and I, but that's not our focus. Our focus is strictly on the Kohen and his ability to offer karbanos. Okay. When is a Kohen an onein in a Torah? We've discussed this already a number of times. Yom HaMisa, the day of death. That is where the Kohen is an onein on a Torah level. That day he can't offer carbon, he can't eat carbon, he does not get a distribution. The night following the death, is a rabbinic extension that Lelo, he's an onein midrabbanan, as we've discussed already a number of times. There are, however, going to be other times where, rabbinically, he's going to be an onein as well. The other times we're going to take into consideration are as follows. There's something in halacha known as a shmua, where let's say it's not the actual Yom HaMisa, but the Kohen learns about the death for the very first time. Now, in halacha, there's a distinction between a shmua krova versus a shmua rechoka. If you hear within 30 days of the death, so that in halacha is referred to as a shmua krova. That's the topic that we're discussing. We're talking about shmua krova. Shmua rechoka has a much less degree of avelus. But that's not our topic for this morning. We're only talking about shmua krova. Hearing about the death within 30 days of when the death actually occurred. There's also something in halacha referred to as likut atzamos. There used to be a minug in which, after the burial, the body was buried in a cave, and then for reasons which I can't even so well articulate, we got to the point of decomposition, and the bones were exhumed and the bones were reburied. This is a minhag that was called likud atzamos, and this also triggered an aninus type period. An onein type period. And finally, the last thing we could also add, as long as we're on the topic of quasi aninos days, is going to be the Yom Kvura, the day of burial. If death and burial are on the same day, so it's a day of death, nothing to talk about. But let's say death and burial are separated by a day or two, or whatever, however long they're separated. If they're separated by a day or more, so then the Yom Kvura also is going to have a quasi onein status. All that clear? So there are really three considerations. Shmua Krova, Likud Atzamos, and the Yom HaKvura. With all that stated, let's see the braisa now inside. Detanya. Let's go with what we have right now. You can ask me more questions after. Detanya. We learned in the braisa. Yom Shmua Kiyom Kvura LeMitzvah Shiva V'Shloshim. As far as the Yom Shmua is concerned, so that is going to be treated as a Kvura, as vis-a-vis the halachas of Shiva and Shloshim. So in other words, in terms of the observance of Avelus, what we classically refer to as Avelus, the 7 days, and Shloshim, right? To put it succinctly, for 7 days, Rashi says it so beautifully and so succinctly. For 7 days, no bathing, no wearing leather. The halachas are more than that. Just we're saying it right now really succinctly. For 30 days, no laundering. So as far as the Shmuel Krova is concerned, so we're going to treat it like 7 and 30 vis-a-vis the halachas of Avelus and Shloshim. And La'achilas Psachim, I'm sorry, the Shiva V'Shloshim U'La'achilas Psachim, Kiyom Likud Atzamos. And as far as the eating of the Karban Pesach, we're going to treat it like Likud Atzamos, which means to say that if the Shmuel is coming on the 14th day of Nisan, meaning it's not the Yom HaMisa, it's just simply the Shmua, it's the learning about the death, so we're going to treat that like Likud HaTzamos vis-a-vis Karm Pesach, which certainly the indication would sound like, and the Kohen is going to be eating Karm Pesach. And this one and that one are going to be eating karbanos that night. Now, if you see the Braisa, you read the Braisa and read it again, it's really difficult to read. Haguf Akasha.
This one is means what?
Sounds that way. So Amar Yom Shmua Ki Yom Kvura LeMitzvah Shiva V'Sholshem U'Lachos. I'm sorry. So it, as we said, as far as Shmua Krov is concerned, so it's going to be given like the Yom Kvura vis-a-vis Avelos and Shloshem. And as far as Achilas Pesach is concerned, it's going to be true like Likud HaTzamos. So, Mechlal, Yom Kvura, Afilu Le'erev Nami Lo Achal. Sounds like that if it were either Shmur Krova or Likud HaTzamos, so for that, you can eat Karm Pesach that night. However, it also sounds like if it's Kvura, now every time I say Kvura, I mean where it's not Yom HaMisa. If it's Yom HaMisa, go back to everything we learned earlier, because Yom HaMisa is a Daraisa. When we say Kvura, we mean Kvura without Misa. Misa occurred on the 13th, on the 12th, whatever, not on the 14th. So, it sounds like a critical reading of the Braisa would sound like that if Kvura would occur on the 14th, so then this person would not be able to eat Karban Pesach. V'hadot tanei, but then the Braisa says, Echad zeh v'echad zeh, tova v'ocha b'kashim l'arev. It says this one and this one is allowed to eat Karban that night. And presumably, when we say Karban, we mean Karban Pesach. Okay, but anyway, but what we have is what's called a stira. Am Rav Chista Tanahi. So Rav Chista looks at the Braisa and says, okay, look, you're right. The Braisa, the reading of the Braisa is really difficult. In other words, where the Braisa is taking us in two different directions in terms of how to treat the Kvura. Either the Kvura, I can't eat Karban Pesach that night, or the Kvura, I can't eat Karban Pesach that night. And so Rav Chista says, this must be a Machlokas tonight. And Rava Rav Huna Amar Lo Kasha. And here's what we're looking for. Meaning this is what we want to mine out of this Braisa. The point that Rabba Bar Rav Huna is making. Lo kasha, kan shema shmua al meso, samach lishkiyas achama, v'kan shalikta lo atzamo, samach lishkiyas achama, v'kan shemeso meis v'kavro, samach lishkiyas achama, v'kan la'achar shkiyas achama. So the Gemara says that it's just a question of whether it happens. Now, the word samach over here in this context means before. It's just a question of whether it happens before or after. Now, the Gemara says before or after shkiyas achama, before or after sunset, what does that mean? La'achar shkiyas achama, ma'i dehava hava. It's after Shkiyas HaChama, Karban Pesach was already offered on your behalf. Like, what significance do you need to know, oh, you know what? You can eat Karban Pesach tonight. What do you mean I can eat Karban Pesach tonight? It was already offered. I already fulfilled my mitzvah. Elosh Mamina, Achilas Pesach Me'akva. And now, this is the point we wanted to get to. In other words, no, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Because fulfillment of the mitzvah, Karban Pesach, is not just simply offering the Karban Pesach. It is the eating of the Karban Pesach. So in other words, this is exactly where the point we wanted to get to, that in terms of how to resolve the stirrup in the Braisa of, can I bring Karban Pesach, can I not bring Karban Pesach, if all these events occurred before, it gets pushed off. If all these events occur after Shkiyas HaChama, I get to eat. Well, you get to eat, what do you mean? Oh, because eating is an essential part of the mitzvah. Rav Ashi Amar. Now, Rav Ashi was going to try to attempt to give a different answer to the stira. Rav Ashi Amar, my echad zeh v'echad zeh hachi kamar. And so Rav Ashi wants to suggest that maybe the echad zeh v'echad zeh is somewhat flexible in what it meant. Echad yom shmua v'echad yom likut. Tova v'ocha b'kashim. Maybe the echad zeh v'echad zeh is talking about the shmua, meaning learning about the death within 30 days, and likut atzamos. So tova va'ochel b'kashim la'erv. And under such circumstances, he can eat Karban Pesach that night. Because again, the learning of the death or the likud of samos does not trigger an aninus on any da'araisa level. The aninus to begin with is only on a derabbanan level, and the night afterwards is nothing. And maybe that's what the Braisa meant. But the Gemara says, v'had Rav Ashi b'dusahi. But the Gemara says, but Rav Ashi was saying, now it literally translates as a joke. We have this line coming up in the Gemara all the time. It means that it's not something to be taken seriously. Another Gersa always is not b'dusa, but berusa, meaning it's external. Leave it outside. Meaning this is not an answer that we invite into the Beis Medrash. Michti, alai kai. Because if it was going back on both Lika Ratzamos and Shmuel Krova, so then ze vize mi baile. Well, it shouldn't say echad zev echad zev, but rather it should say zev zev if it's just tagging back to what it mentioned just previously. So Elish Mamina Bedusi. So the Gemara says Rav Ashi's answer is not to be invited into the base medrash. Umay Tanai. Now Rav Chista, as an answer, said it's a machlokis Tanai. And now the Gemara wants to know what is this machlokis he's making reference to. So we are now going to go off course a little bit because we just quoted this braisa. The real reason why we quoted the braisa is because we wanted to extract out of that the point of Rava Bar Rav Huna. Rava Bar Rav Huna teaches us that the eating of the Karban Pesach is an essential part of the mitzvah. And so even though the person may be an onan on a rabbinic level at night, but since the Karban Pesach was already offered, and since this event occurred afterwards, so an allowance is given to eat the Karban Pesach. Why is it so important to eat Karban Pesach? Because Rav Baravuna teaches us that it's an essential part of the mitzvah. That's really the whole point why we quoted the Braisa. As long as we are here, and Rav Chista gave another answer, which said it was Machlokas Tanayim, so the Gemara would like to explore this a little bit more, and explain what exactly is the Machlokas Tanayim that Rav Chista was making reference to. Ad Masai Misonanin Alav, Kol Hayom. How long are you an Onin for? Now again, Onin in the context of Karban and Kachim, our topic of discussion. So Kol Hayom, you're an Onin that whole day. Rebbe Omer calls Mashalo Nikbar. Now Rebbe says it continues until the point of Kavura. So the Gemara says, now are we talking about the day of death? Meaning, are we talking about, is the topic of discussion over here an Onin from the perspective of Yom HaMisa? So me Yom HaMisa. So the Gemara says, is anyone of the opinion that there is no rabbinic extension after the Yom HaMisa? Or let me put it in simpler English. Everybody agrees that there is a rabbinic extension of Leilo after Yom HaMisa. No one disputes that. Visu, Rebbe Omer Kozman Shalo Nikbar, HaKivro Yishtarile. And now Rebbe talks about a burial being a key mark on when Aninus will come to a conclusion. You mean to tell me that the death and the burial occurred an hour apart from one another? You mean that after he buries, Rebbe says he's no longer an onin? That's patently absurd. We know that Aninus is for the full day, even after burial. And the Yom HaMisa, you're an onin for the rest of that day. So in other words, the way that we are proposing the machlokas can't be, simply can't be. So Amar Rav Sheshes, Ayom Kvura Akai. So Rav Sheshes says, no, the Braisa is not talking about the Yom HaMisa, the Braisa is talking about Yom Kvura. And again, let's be clear. We're talking about where the Yom HaMisa was on a day earlier, a day or any greater earlier, and the Yom HaKvura is on a separate day. And now what the Tanaim are debating about is, what kind of aninus is triggered by the Yom HaKvura? It's not an aninus d'oraisa. Aninus d'oraisa is the Yom HaMisa. The night afterwards is extended rabbinically according to everybody. We all agree. And now it's just a question of, what about the Yom Kvura? If the Yom Kvura is on another day, what kind of aninus does it trigger off? And that's the debate. So between Rebbe and the Tanakama. So Maskel, Rav Yosef, Ela Hadik Tani HaShomel Ameso. So Rav Yosef quotes the Brisa says that somebody who learns about the death of one of his relatives, and again, we're talking about Shmuel Krova, so Kimalakit Atzamos. So he has the same status as Likud Atzamos. By the way, just to be clear, Rashi makes his point. When we're talking about Likud Atzamos, meaning the day in which his bones are being transferred from one grave to another grave, let's make this point really clear. It's an obvious point. We're not talking about where the Kohen did it himself. If the Kohen did it himself, so then he is Tamei Meis. We're talking about where somebody else did it on his behalf, but still, it is a mournful day, and it triggers rabbinically some sort of aninus. What Rav Yosef is quoting from Ebraisa is that halachically, the aninus that's triggered by Yom Shmua is the same as it would be triggered by Likud Atzamos. And that means that you can eat Karban Pesach that night. Now, what this sounds like is that, again, as I mentioned, there are three quasi-mourning periods. There is Shmuel Krova, Likud Atzamos, and there's also Yom Kvura. By the Braisa over here, only going over two of the three, sounds like from the Braisa, that the Yom Kvura, and again, when we say Yom Kvura, we mean not when it is the same day as Yom Isa, it sounds like the Yom HaKfura is even on a stronger level. Hamani, but wait one second. In the Braisa that you just reported, nobody subscribes to that. And so therefore this Braisa would be representing nobody's position. Ela Tritz. This is the way to explain the Braisa. An Masai Misonim Alav Kol Oso Ayom Velelo. So here's now how we're going to explain the Braisa. How long are you an Onain for? And again, we're talking about the Yom Kvura. You're an Onain for the day of death and the night following. So in other words, according to the Chachamim, the Yom Kvura, which is a rabbinic Anina's day, is going to be for the day of the burial and the entire following night. And Rebbe Omer calls Manshalo Nikbar, Aval Nikbar, below Lelo. And Rebbe says that's as long as he wasn't buried. But in other words, if you're buried, so in other words, it only goes for the day, not for the night following. This is now going to be the explanation of the Braisa that's given. Amru Kameh de Rav Yirmiya. This explanation was set over in front of Rav Yirmiya. Amr Gavra Rabbeke Rav Yosef Lemahachi. Rav Yosef is a great man. He would not be saying such a pshat in the Braisa. Lema de Rebbe Lakula. And now it comes out that according to Rebbe, we're being Makel V'atanya. In other words, whatever the pshat in the Braisa may be, it can't result in Rebbe being more lenient. We know that the entire point of Rebbe is to be more stringent than that of the Chachamim. How do I know that? Because consider. Let's take a look at this Braisa. Ad Masai Misonein, Alav Kol Zman Sheino Nikbar. Afilo Mikan V'Adasar Yamim. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe's extending the Aninus. And then V'Chachamim Omrim, Ein Misonein Alav Ela Oso Ayom Bavad. And according to the Chachamim, no, he's only an Onein on that day, meaning on that day of burial. But not from death until burial. So clearly, what's at issue over here is as follows. According to Rebbe, a Kohen is an Onein from the Yom HaMisa till the Yom Kvura. And what the Chachamim are saying, no. The Yom HaMisa, you're an Onein. Done. Your Anina sense. Yes, rabbinically, it's extended the night after. Then, the next time that there will be a quasi-Aninus period is the Yom Kvura. So, El Tritzachi. Ad Masai Mosonein Alav Kol Oso Ayom Below Leilo. So the Gemara says, okay, so this is now how we're going to interpret the Braisa. The Braisa is going to read like this. How long are you going to be an Onein that day and not the night afterwards? Meaning, we're only talking about Yom Kippur right now, we're not talking about Yom Misa. The Tanakhama is of the opinion that Yom Kippur is going to be a quasi-Anina's day. And for the day, but only the day you're an Onein. The night afterwards, nothing. And Rebbe Omer calls Manshalo Nikbar, V'in Nikbar Toves Leilo. Now, Rebbe says up until the point of burial, but once you do the burial, you'll be known in that day and the following night. And so what comes out now is a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rebbe, is that on the Yom Kvura, which is a rabbinic Anina status period, the rabbis added that to the days of the Kohen now being an Onin, rabbinically. And now the only question is the night, is it going to extend into the night? Chachamim say no. Rebbe says yes. That's the machlokus.
So Rebbe, is it double gezerah? We don't have double gezerah.
We'll say it's one gezerah.
No, why? Because one gezerah was to Yom Kippur is becoming onen, and Rebbe is also extending it. It's double gezerah.
Okay, I do hear your point. I do hear it, but I'm just going to give you another way to look at it. Meaning that is the one gezerah is that we're gonna the Yom Kippur is going to be treated just like the Yom HaMisa. Yom HaMisa is the day and the following night. Now your point, which is really good, is that yeah, but that day and night is Daraisa Darabanan,
right.
And now we're just moving it over where the day is Darabanan.
Right. And then you're adding the night.
Understood. I understand your point, but
unless Rabbi says that, no.
Okay.
Unless Rabbi says it's like the Oraita the whole time from death to Kippur.
That's an excellent proposal. In fact, just stay with me a little bit longer. The Gemara is going to entertain such an idea. Okay, so Amru Kame de Rava. So it was said in front of Rava. Mid de Kame Rabbi Yom Kvura Tofes Lelo Mid de Rabban Mechad Yom Misa Tofes Lelo Mid de Raisa. The head of the Gemara makes exactly your proposal. Well, look, if now Rebbe's teaching me that on the Yom Kvura, which is a rabbinic aninus, so Rebbe's telling me that it extends until the evening. So the Gemara now is entertaining the idea that, oh, so it must be that the Yom HaMisa, the day is a Daraisa, and the night following is a Daraisa. And now I can understand, I can wrap my head around this idea that when the rabbis now made an Aninus Darabanan of Yom Kippurah, they patterned it after that which the Torah, that of the Torah. The Gemara says, "Amruka me derabba me dekamer of Yosi." I'm sorry, I read this already. Rabbi Yom Kvur tofes alam derabban mechadi amisa tofes alam deraisa. V'sabr Rabbi Aninus laila deraisa v'atani. But the Gemara says, "But I know that's not true. It's not true. We learned on the Braisa, Heina Yom, Heima Yom. I'm going to explain this much better in just a moment. So, Hein Hayom Ani, Hayom Aser, Velaila Mutar. Uladaros, Ben Bayom, Ben Balaila, Aser, Div Rebbe Yehuda. Now, there is an opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda, not to be confused with Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Two different Tanaim. Rebbe Yehuda is Rebbe Yehuda Yelai. So, there is a Tana, Rebbe Yehuda, who does say that Aninus is day and night min haTorah. Rebbe Omer, and here it's very clear that we're not going to confuse the two, because Rebbe's arguing with Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Omer, Aninus laila einu midivrei Torah ela midivrei sofrim. Mm. That Aninus at night is only midivrei sofrim, not min haTorah. So now, la'olam derabbanan hi. So yeah, so the Gemara acknowledges. Now that we have this extra information, we can no longer theorize, we can no longer speculate that maybe Rebbe holds that Aninus laila is doraisa. V'chachamim asu chizuk ledivrei miyosu mashir Torah. And you know what? You know what happened? The Chachamim went more than the Torah. Meaning, the Ananinus Daraisa, so now there is Aninus Yom, which is Daraisa, meaning on the Yom HaMisa. The night that follows is a Din Darabana, an extension of a Daraisa. And now, as we move to Kvura, the Yom Kvura, if the Yom Kvura is on a separate day, so that day is going to be Aninus Midarabanan. And yes, you could make an argument that the Chachamim should have stopped, but Asu Chizuk LeDivreihem. In order to reinforce their gzera derabana, their takana, however you want to describe it, so they extended it even into the evening. Where do we stand right now? So let's summarize. In other words, I'd like to go a little bit further this morning, but let us summarize right now at where we are in terms of aninus. So let's start with Yom HaMisa. Yom HaMisa is the easiest to explain. Yom HaMisa, for a kohen on the day of the death of one of his seven relatives, he's an onin min haTorah. He cannot offer carbon, he cannot receive a distribution, he cannot eat any carbon. He's an oni. Does it extend into the evening? The answer is yes. And most probably it extends midrabanan. There is a shita that we just saw at the tail end of the entire sugya of Rebbe Yehuda that says that anin extends the araisa into the night. But the preponderance of positions that we saw in the course of today's daf teaches us that aninus of Yom HaMisa that goes into the night is a din derabanan, not a din daraisa. Under certain circumstances, that means that if a kohen is an onin on Erev Pesach, given certain circumstances, he would be allowed to bring the Karban Pesach, not he himself, he's an onin, but somebody would be allowed to bring the Karban Pesach on his behalf, and so that he can eat it tonight, even though tonight he'll be an onin derabanan, but because of the importance and significance of Karban Pesach, so the Chachamim relax their rules. What exactly those circumstances are? So review the entirety of Daf Kuf, and you'll see under what circumstances exactly he would be allowed to do so. Now let's move to the quasi-onain days. There are three that were discussed in the course of Daf Kuf. One is Yom HaKvura. If, let's say, the burial did not occur on the day of death, the burial was a day later or any day subsequent to that. So on the day of burial, the kohen is going to be an onain on a rabbinic level. Is that aninus period going to extend into the evening? As we saw, a debate on that matter. The Braisa, as we last explained it on the bottom of Kuf Amud Beis, brought down a machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether or not aninus derabanan of Yom Kippur extends into the evening. There are two other quasi-aninus days, or rabbinic aninus days, and that's Likud HaTzamus and Shmua Krova. Likud HaTzamus is when the bones are going to be exhumed and reinterred into a family plot. So on that day, and again, assuming the Kohen himself is not the one who did it, on that day the Kohen is going to have an onain status, where he's not going to be able to offer or eat carbon on that day. Does that extend into the evening? Debatable. And the third quasi-onain status is going to be Shmua Krova. It's not the day of the burial, it's not the day of the death, but it's the day in which he learns about the death, and it has to be within 30 days of the death. This in halacha is referred to as a Shmua Krova. Under those circumstances, also, he's going to have a rabbinic aninus period. Okay, that was a lot. That was a lot. Let's do a little bit more for this morning, as I'd like to make up ground. Tana Rabbanan. We are now in Kuf Aleph, Amud Aleph, and by the way, if you have to leave, I totally understand. Everything here is being recorded. The Tana Rabbanan. You could listen later. The Gemara now is going to quote the following Braisa, and here we go. At the end of Parsha Shmini, a fight breaks out between Moshe and Aaron. A disagreement. But it is an argument, though. Moshe was not happy. We could raise it up to a disagreement. We could ratchet it up a little bit. Moshe was very displeased. And what happens is that there was a carbon that should have been consumed by the Kohanim, as Moshe felt. By the way, Kohanim back then resulted in three people. There was actually a fourth, but we're going to talk about that later. We probably won't get to it this morning. But the Kohanim should have eaten one of the carbonas according to Moshe. Aaron explained to Moshe, no, we shouldn't have eaten it. And Moshe ended up conceding, you know what, Aaron, you're right. Okay. In the psukim themselves, we are not given a lot of information in terms of which carbon it was and what happened. All I'm going to do now is just read a couple of psukim in the Torah. This is Parsha Shmini. This is the end of the 10th parak of Vayikra. Ve'esir chatas. Now, as far as the seir chatas is concerned, so we have localized one of the carbonas it could be, meaning the Torah does say it is the goat, but as you'll see, there are three candidates of which goat it could be. So, darosh darash Moshe. So Moshe does an investigation. Ve'inei soraf, it was burnt. And he gets angry with Elazar and Isamar, the sons of Aaron. Why doesn't he get angry at Aaron? Okay. In other words, it's Aaron. He's not going to...
Political.
Right. So he's not going to... So, kodesh hi. Moshe says, you should have eaten it. It's a chatas. It's for you to eat it in order to provide a kapar for the people. So, you know, the blood of this carbon wasn't taken into the Heichal, which would have disqualified it. And, you should have eaten it like I instructed you to eat it. Okay, Moshe had a taina. Vayidaber Aaron al Moshe. Now, Aaron realizes that it's not for the sons now to talk back to Moshe. So Aaron now speaks to his brother, and Aaron says to his brother, you remember what happened to me today? Meaning, I lost two of my sons. They lost two of their brothers. And if we ate it, would Hashem be happy? Moshe hears this, then he says, you're right. Okay. Not a lot of information that we're given in the Torah. And so what we're going to be doing over the course of today's daf, which we're not going to get through in entirety, but I would like to cover a little bit of it, and that is, what is the carbon that is being discussed, and what exactly is the issue in terms of why Moshe thought they should have eaten it? Aaron explained, no, we shouldn't have eaten it, and Aaron was right. So that is the course of discussion.
How does it relate to what we have been discussing?
It will relate. You'll see. Tanu Rabbanan. Ki chen tzuvesi, kasher tzuvesi, kasher tziva Hashem. Moshe could not be any clearer that this was all as per instruction. Meaning the reason why Moshe was so upset is because he was of the belief that this was clearly instructed. And three times do we have the words commandment. And the Gemara here elaborates the three times. Ki chen tzuvesi ba'aninus yachlu. Meaning Moshe said, I was given clear instructions. Meaning Moshe says to Aaron, I know you're an Onan. I know you just lost your two sons today. It's Yom HaMisa, by the way. I know you lost your two sons today. The instructions are eat. Kasher tzivesi b'shas maisa. And at the actual action point, take out the next two words. Kasher tziva Hashem lo me'alayni omer. I'm not saying this on my own. So in other words, three times Moshe is saying, I got very clear instruction. So I can't understand why you're not eating it. Viriminu. Now the Gemara says, the Gemara now notes that there is a stira. Mimnei aninus nisrafa lekach ne'emra ka'ela. So, another braisa says, that why is it that they didn't eat it? Just putting it in other terms, why is it that it was burnt, meaning the carbon chatzos was burnt? Because it says ka'ela, meaning because they were in a state of aninus. So, Amar Shmuel, Okasha, Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, Ha, Rabbi Nechemia, Ditanya. So the Gemara over here now is going to go over what exactly was the reason why they couldn't eat it. In one brisa, it says, Moshe says, look, I know you're an Onan, you should have eaten it. In the second brisa, it says it's exactly for the reason that they were an Onan that they didn't eat it. So now the Gemara over here is going to treat us to a machlokas atanaim, exactly what the reason was that they couldn't eat it. So it's machlokas tanaim. So, Ditanya, the Gemara quotes now the following brisa. According to Rabbi Nechemya, the reason why they burned the carbon and they did not eat it is because they were an onin. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Mimnei Tumah Nisrafa. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, it's because of Tumah, which we're going to explain better later on. Shima ta omer mimnei aninus nisrafa. You think it's really about aninus? I don't understand. How many carbon chatuses were brought on that day? So, that day is the first day of Nisan. So, as they are now entering into the second year of going in the desert, so we're right to just almost a full year earlier. They left Mitzrayim, 15th day of Nisan, right? And so they are almost a full year later. Almost a full year later, on the first day of Nisan, Hakamas HaMishkan. They've been building a Mishkan, right, since Matan Torah. Right, from Matan Torah, which was the sixth day of Sivan, right? That first year. You can chart it easy on a calendar. So on the sixth day of Sivan, they were given the Torah. They were given the Yeser Sedibros, they were taught the Torah. And yes, there was a 40-day period plus another 40-day period plus another 40-day period that took them all the way to Yom Kippur. But okay. So there's a 120 days to fill in over there. But anyway, and then for the rest of that first year, they were building the Mishkan. And then they had 7 inaugural days prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, opening day of the Mishkan. On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so you had many carbonates that were being brought. But we're going to zoom in on carbon chatas. How many carbon chatos were brought that day? 3. How come 3? 1. It was Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh, you bring a carbon chatas. 2. The first 12 opening days of the Mishkan, each one in the seam came and brought their carbonos. The first day was, the carbon that was born the first day was Nachshon ben Aminadov, and one of the carbonos that are brought by each one in the seam is a carbon chatas. So you have the chatas of Nachshon. And also, because it was inauguration, so there was miluim carbonos that were brought, one of the miluim carbonos that were brought was a carbon chatas. So you had 3 carbon chatases that were brought. If we can organize these carbon chatases, 2 of them were for that day alone, meaning they were not generational. 1 of them was generational. The chatas of Rosh Chodesh, that's Ladoros, that's for all future generations. The carbon chatas brought by Nachshon ben Aminadov and the carbon chatas that was brought as a result of the Miluim was just strictly for that period of time. So, point number 1, says Rabbi Nechemya and says Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Nechemya is, if you think this is all a function of aninus, so that means the problem is on the kohen, that they're not allowed to eat it. So how many of the carbonas should have been burnt? All 3. How many carbonas were actually burnt? Only 1. Now I know it was only 1. That is the one thing the Torah is really clear about. The Torah says, Ve'es se'ir ha-chatas. The se'ir chatas. Only 1 was burnt. Not all 3 of them. So, criticism number 1. How can you tell me that it was an aninus issue when, if that's true, all 3 of them should be burned? Point number 2. Davar acher, hayirah la'achlam l'erev. Okay, they're an onin that day. That night, they're not an onin. So, they could have eaten it that night. Point number 3. Davar acher, v'lo pinchas hayayim mahem. And even if somehow you can combat my first 2 points, there was a 4th kohen, Pinchas. He was not an onin. Meaning, who's an onin? Only one of the 7 relatives. Pinchas was not one of the 7 relatives. He was a nephew to them. A nephew is not one of the 7 relatives. So Pinchas couldn't have eaten the carbonos. So 3 arguments. We're gonna defend all 3 arguments, but right now
he wasn't appointed then.
Oh, that's one of the arguments.
Yeah, he wasn't appointed then. He came after.
Very good. Rava Amar, Idi V'Idi, Reb Nechemya, V'lo Kasha. Okay, so what do we have right now? Why didn't Aaron and his 2 sons eat the carbon chatas? So we have a machlokes hatanaim. Rava says, I'll tell you what, I can go back to the brises, and you know what? I can just simply tell you that both brises are following the viewpoint of Reb Nechemya. V'lo Kasha, Kambe Kasha, Sha, Kambe Shakashi Doros. And now all we're going to do is just simply organize, like I did earlier. In other words, there are 3 carbon chatases, but of the 3 carbon chatases, 1 of them was kache doros, that's the chatas of Rosh Chodesh, and 2 of them were kache shah, the miluim and the chatas of Nachshon. Reb Nechemya heich mitaris lahani krai, v'rabban heich mitaris lahani krai. And now what we're going to do is we're going to go through the psukim. One round according to Rabbi Nechemiah, and one round according to Rabbi Yehuda. And when we say Rabbi Yehuda, we mean Rabbi Yehuda together with Rabbi Shimon. And basically now, here's what we're going to do. In round number one, which we'll do today, and that we'll stop after round number one, what we're going to learn is that the entire issue was aninus. That was the whole issue. And now we're going to read the psukim with the assumption that the whole issue was an issue of aninus. The reason why Aaron, his two sons, were not eating the carbon is because he was an oni. And it actually, and we're also going to explain why it is that they didn't eat the chatas of Rosh Chodesh, but they did eat the chatas of the Nachshon and the Miluim. So Reb Nechemiah Matris Lahachi, Madu Lo Achaltam. So now that we're gonna give a narrative to the dialogue, meaning we know the dialogue, and we're gonna give a narration. How are we gonna understand the dialogue based on it's all about aninus? Madu Lo Achaltam. Amalo Moshe La'aron Shem Nechnas Dam Lefnei Lefnim. So Moshe is now trying to entertain. Why didn't you eat the carbon chatas? Oh, I know, because the blood was brought inside into the heichal, and we know that the blood of a chatas is brought into the heichal disqualifies the carbon. Amar lo hein lo huvaz dama. And to that, Aaron responds to Moshe, no, that's not right. Meaning, no, the blood didn't go into the heichal. Shem chutz l'mechitza sayatza. Oh, so Moshe now says to Aaron, oh, maybe the blood was taken out of the azara. Amar lo bakodesh haisa. No, he says it was bakodesh. It was in the azara the entire time. V'dilma ba'aninus akrivtei u'pasaltua. So, maybe they offered it in a state of aninus. Now remember, Aaron is a Kohen Gadol. He's allowed to offer a carbon in the state of aninus. The two sons, Elazar and Isamar, they were Kohen Hedjo. They're not allowed to offer. So Moshe is now entertaining, oh, maybe the boys are the ones who brought the carbon. So Amar lo Moshe, v'chi hemi krivu ani krivti, ani krivti. So to that, Aaron says, no, they didn't offer it, I offered it. V'amar lo, hein lo avaz dama, v'kosh ha'isa ha'chol tochlo osa, kashur tzivesi, v'aninus yochluhu. So Moshe, he was trying to be melamed tzchus. He was looking to find, there's got to be some explanation in terms of why Aaron didn't eat the carbon. And I came up with a number of suggestions, but he rebuffed every one of my suggestions. Right? He just laid down the facts. And so now that we're here, so Moshe now says, now you don't have a good reason why you didn't eat it. You should have eaten the carbon. And I told you that you're supposed to eat in a state of aninus. I was instructed by Hashem that you're supposed to eat in a state of aninus. And so Aaron's response is, well, if this happened to me, would Hashem be pleased with that? Now again, that's just quoting the Pasuk. Now we're going to give the narration, because from the Pasuk, what was the response? So now we have the Gemara, we have the Torah Shebaal Peh, we have a narration. And now Aaron says to Moshe, look, I know you were instructed that we are to eat the carbon in a state of aninus. But let me suggest, Aaron says to Moshe, that when Hashem told you to tell me to eat the carbon, maybe only the carbonos that are specific to today, Nachshon's carbon chatas, the Miluin carbon chatas, not the Rosh Chodesh carbon chatas, the Rosh Chodesh carbon chatas, that's generational. That follows the usual generational rules. Look, you know, a Kohen can't eat Maaser Sheni in a state of aninus. Maaser Sheni is on the lowest level of Kedusha. If a Kohen can't eat Maaser Sheni in aninus, you think you can eat a carbon chatas in a state of aninus? It can't be. In other words, there's no way. And so, maybe Hashem's instructions to you were, yes, eat the carbon chatas in a state of aninus, but only for those that are specific to today, not generational carbon chatas like the Rosh Chodesh. Miyad v'yishma Moshe v'yita b'einav. Hodev lo bosh Moshe, lomar lo shamati, alamar shamati v'shachachti. And here, as a shevach, as a tremendous praise to Moshe, the Gemara teaches us that Moshe said, you know what, you're right, and you know what, on top of that, I forgot. Meaning that's exactly what Hashem told me, and I forgot, and now that you're reminding me, you're right. That's exactly how Hashem said it to me. And he wasn't even embarrassed to say that, he didn't say, oh, I didn't hear it that way. He said, no, I heard it that way, I forgot, and you're absolutely right. So it's just a nice endpoint in terms of the ability to admit that you made a mistake, and even if it's not a flattering mistake, it's a tremendous shevach to admit it.
A side point was that he forgot because he got angry.
Mm.
That's another thing.
Yes. Right. Very good. Okay, so what we have now just completed, I appreciate everyone's tolerance. We went long today. So what we just went through now is round one of how to understand Moshe, Aaron, Elazar, Isamar, eating some of the carbon chatzos, not eating some of the eating two of the carbon chatzos that are brought today, not eating the third. And now we've all understood it in the context of Reb Nechemia. This is Rava's explanation. In the context of Reb Nechemia, in that it was all a function of aninus. And that, of course, connects it to what we've been discussing the last couple of days. Meaning because they were in a state of aninus, Aaron, Elazar, and Isamar were all in a state of being an onain. Aaron lost his sons. Elazar and Isamar lost their brothers. So they could not eat the carbon doros, but they could eat the carbon shah. There was a special dispensation that was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe to tell the Kohanim to eat the carbon chatos, but that was only for Kashishah, not for Kashidoros. For Kashidoros, they follow the regular rules of Aninus, and because they were an Onin that day, they were not allowed to eat it that day. There's a lot more that we need to cover. We still have to cover half the daf, but we'll save that for tomorrow. We still have to go over the entire dialogue according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, because they're of the opinion that this has nothing to do with Aninus, it had to do with Tumah. And also, there were three arguments that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon made to Rabbi Nechemiah. One we already know how to answer, right? One was, if this is all a function of Aninus, so why didn't they burn all three Karbanos? Why did they only burn one of the Karbanos? But we already know the answer to that. Kachishah versus Kachidavras. But there are two other... There are two other points of contention that we have to deal with. One, they eat it that night. We'll have to address that. We'll address that tomorrow. And how come, even if you're going to tell me they were all disqualified, Pinchas was not an onin. Why didn't Pinchas eat the carbon? We'll address it.
Back on to the Pesach.